G'day, I'm Erk, and welcome to episode 393 of Erk Pod, coming to you this episode from San Francisco, California. This was a series of short snippets recorded on either an iPhone or an iPad using an application called Audio Boo, and these messages were recorded so while the trip was actually going on, you could get some sort of idea of what was going on during the trip. There will be extended episodes of Erk Pod following this series where you can get a little bit more detail and further content from the trip. Anywho, in the meantime, enjoy San Francisco. G'day, I'm Erk from Channel Erk. Day 37 of the trip, Tuesday the 19th of February 2013. The day seemed to be brought to me by the period of roughly 60 minutes. The trip from the hotel in Portland to Portland Airport, roughly 60 minutes. Delays associated with the weather in San Francisco, roughly 60 minutes. The flight time from Portland to San Francisco, roughly 60 minutes. Thankfully, the time between landing and collecting my baggage wasn't 60 minutes. That was probably the quickest part of the trip. And Alaska actually have a guarantee that if you haven't collected your bags, certain conditions of course apply, if you haven't collected your bags within 20 minutes of the aircraft parking, you can get compensation. So that's an incentive to get your bags quickly off the plane, isn't it? And then after I landed in San Francisco and they had had a storm, the runways were wet and associated areas, so I can understand the delays. I got a super shuttle back to San Francisco, or to downtown San Francisco, because the airport isn't necessarily close to the city centre. So there was six of us in this super shuttle, and that took roughly 60 minutes. I don't need to necessarily do a tour of downtown San Francisco anymore, because we probably spent 45 minutes of that roughly 60 minutes driving around downtown San Francisco, dropping the various people off. And I think there were two people after me that had to be dropped off. I had really forgotten how steep the streets of San Francisco really were, and we also drove at the top of the world's most crookedest street, Lombard Street, which is a road that is basically lined by hedges, and you go down this massive hill. Basically, you zigzag your way down like you were on a mountainside skiing, slalom style. It's very, very scenic, and lots of people drive their cars down there. Lots more people photograph the cars going down there. I know I did it when I was here in 2009. And I actually thought about asking the driver of the super shuttle if he should drive down there. But then again, I didn't want to be driving down Lombard Street for roughly 60 minutes. So eventually, after roughly 60 minutes, I made it to the hotel, having seen a lot of San Francisco downtown. And there were quite a few hills where I thought, man, I'm glad I didn't have to bring my suitcase up that hill. So the super shuttle, definitely a great idea, or something like it anyway, definitely a great idea for San Francisco, especially if you don't know exactly where you're going. And I know on the way back on Friday, on my way to San Luis Obispo, at least, I've got an early flight on Friday, so I hope that they don't take roughly 60 minutes to get there. I just want them to go straight from my hotel straight to the airport. I don't know if they're going to do that. But yeah, after all those roughly 60 minute things, I was tired, and so I slept for roughly 60 minutes, and then I thought, got some food, come back, and then I went to bed. So now I'm about to hit the main streets of San Francisco for 2 days, and then off to San Luis Obispo, off to LA, and then off home. Thanks for listening.
Talk to you in roughly 60 minutes or so. Good night. G'day, I'm Erka. Welcome to day 38 of my trip. It is Wednesday the 20th of February 2013, and by this time next week I will be at home, which is rather interesting. But for the moment at least, I am in San Francisco, which is also very interesting. If you're playing along at home, I'm at the corner of Van Ness and Market in downtown San Francisco. And today I'm following the theory of one Homer J. Simpson. That's right, one of my idols in life, and I'm not ashamed to say that, because really, I know he's a fictional cartoon character and all, but, you know, some of the things that he says is absolutely true. So why am I channeling Homer Simpson today? Well, of all days, of any day, really. It's not the first day I've really channeled Homer Simpson, but you might remember quite a few years ago. Now that say does not look like a new bus. Why am I channeling Homer Simpson? That's right. I'm in San Francisco, and San Francisco is famous for being, among other things, quite hilly. And I hadn't actually realised, hang on, San Francisco Fire Department, engine 36, sorry dudes. Again, channeling Homer Simpson. There was a classic episode many seasons ago now. I think it was called Homer Simpson and the Space Coyote. And the basic premise of the episode was that Homer went to a chili cook-off and he got the hottest chilies that he could find. He had some sort of meltdown. It was like an LSD trip or something like that. And then eventually, he's gone on a massive walk and he didn't know where he was because he got lost because he didn't remember what he did because of the effect of the chilies. And so he's lost and he rings Marge and Marge comes down and picks him up. Marge knew exactly where he would be because she knows Homer so well, and she knows that Homer only likes to walk downhill and that he doesn't like to use public transportation because, in his words, public transportation is for losers and Springfield doesn't have a good public transit network anyway. So today I'm channeling Homer Simpson. If there is a choice between walking downhill and uphill, well, guess what? I'm going to be walking downhill. So I'll probably end up at the lowest part of San Francisco, which is totally fine with me. And unlike Springfield, there is an excellent public transportation system here, and just passing me now, there's a trolley bus. There's another trolley bus directly next to me that's about to leave. More about that soon. Of course, there's the world-famous streetcars and the cable cars, and then there's also the BART, again, channeling Homer Simpson, the Bay Area Rapid Transit. So I think I'm going to have a good day, and it's really great to have an iPhone again so I can record these things actually on location and not necessarily have to record them with the H4N and then play them back. So I have some Pepsi or soda, then again, channeling Homer Simpson, and there'll be more about that and a lot more from downtown San Francisco very shortly. I'm in downtown. See, that guy didn't want me to sing. Downtown San Francisco. I'm Erk. Thanks for listening. All soon. Good night. G'day, I'm Erk from Channel Erk. Welcome to day 38 of my trip. Wednesday, the 20th of February 2013. Coming to you from downtown San Francisco, the corner of Van Ness and Market. San Francisco, it's a wonderful town. You know, I'm not going to go start into New York, but San Francisco is a wonderful town in terms of, you know, the history of the place, the beauty of the place, and also the public transportation of the place. Now, I'm standing next to a streetcar line, and the buses and the trolley buses also use the streetcar lines, and also the taxis use it to go up and down as well. So they've got their dedicated systems. And then you've got regular buses, the trolley buses, then you've got the modern light rail vehicles, and then the BART system, the Bay Area Rapid Transit system, which is more like Subway. And so you've got so much transportation. Then of course you've got the world famous San Francisco streetcars, and also the world famous San Francisco cable cars. The cable cars are really, really interesting, but they're also really, really hard to get onto. You actually see people, and I saw this yesterday on the way from the airport to the hotel, you actually see people hanging out the sides of the cable car, something which you, of course, would see many years ago on tram systems around the world, but not necessarily in 2013, but then again, here we are. So here we are downtown. There's a modern light rail station underneath us. I'm at a bus stop, I'm at a trolley stop, and there's just so many things that you can do. At so many places you can get around, even if you don't have a car here in San Francisco. There's lots of public transit options according to where you want to go, which is absolutely awesome. And then coming up over the next couple of days, I'll be bringing you what it's like to be on these various forms of transport, primarily the modern light rail, the MUNI, I think it's pronounced, or the MUNI, MUNI, I'm not exactly sure how it's pronounced. And then you've got the buses and the trolley buses, and it's really strange being on a trolley bus because it's all electric, you don't necessarily hear the engine noise. You've got a regular bus, which is behind me. And then coming up in just a moment behind it is a traditional streetcar. The streetcar looks like a really, 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 really old bus. And so with the streetcar that you just saw, it's single-ended, so you sort of need a balloon leap at either end of the route. But they're all painted in different colours, and I believe some of them are even from different trolley car and streetcar systems from around the country at least. And then they're brought here to San Francisco, but they're not just a tourist service. They provide a regular transportation service for everyday people in San Francisco, as well as the many, many tourists that are here. So we'll go shortly for a ride, but I have something extremely important to do before that, and you'll find out what that is in the next episode. G'day, I'm Mac, and this is day 38 of my trip. On Wednesday the 20th of February 2013, I am in San Francisco. Lots for me to tell you about San Francisco, but let me do something very, very special first. I was in Walgreens this morning looking for some Pepsi, as I do, and when I was in Pepsi, I had an OMG moment. I severely did, because of course I love Pepsi, you know that. You know, if Pepsi want to sponsor me, no problem at all. Hit me up, eggpot@gmail.com. Anywho. As a United train comes out of the depot next to me. We have some exciting news. I have some exciting news. I was in Walgreens and I saw the now traditional modern Pepsi bottle with the blue background, the lowercase Pepsi writing, and the round red and blue ball with the white swisher line in the middle. And then next to it, I saw the old Pepsi logo with the word Pepsi in the middle, the red at the top and the blue down the bottom. And on it, it says, Pepsi throwback, made with real sugar. Now, I believe this is just going to be like ordinary Australian Pepsi. I might have done this taste test in 2009 when I was here last, but who cares? Let's open it up. The throwback has the letters throwback in black writing, made with in red writing, and then real in black writing again, and then sugar in red writing, and it's a white background label. So let's open it up and have a taste. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I don't even have to drink the other one. Although I will. I will drink the other one at some stage, of course, but that was me drinking the throwback. And that is just like Australian Pepsi. So they might as well have just called it Australian Pepsi and be done with it. I do like the taste of American Pepsi as well. But boy, yeah, that's Australian Pepsi with real sugar. Really, really enjoyed that. G'day iMac, this is day 38 of my trip. It is Wednesday the 20th of February 2013. I have actually figured out where I am, and somebody like my buddy Albert would really love where I am at the moment. I've actually figured out where I am. I am at the Balboa Park Station Complex, for the want of a better word. Right in front of me at the moment is a Muni light rail. And it is standing ready to go back towards downtown as a K-Line service. And I am standing outside one of the depots here at Balboa Park. It is called the Curtis E. Green Light Rail Centre for the San Francisco Municipal Railway, or Muni. And so they use this depot, you know, to do all the normal depot-y type things, but they also use it as a terminal and as a way to turn the trams and the streetcars back around to head downtown. Especially handy for the, as I said earlier, the earlier model streetcars that are only single-ended. So down there you can get the K-Line, you can also get the J, the M's across the road, and I think you can get the N as well. So that's all from this corner, on what I'll basically call the northeastern corner of the compass. Directly next to that and underneath that is the BART station. So that is cool. Then on the western side and the northwestern side, you have the you have more depot to park the trains, etc. And then more towards the southwest, you have the M line heading back in towards downtown. And you also have, I was talking about trains earlier coming out of a yard, the Cameron Beach Yard. And so that is basically the general area of where I am. So in addition to the various streetcars and the Muni vehicles, you also have a series of buses running past here as well. So for anyone who likes their public transportation and whatnot, somebody like my buddy Albert, for instance, Simon, etc., Brian, this would be a perfect place to hang out, get lots of photos, lots of ambience and all that sort of stuff. And this is all within, you know, not even, it's basically set around an intersection. Oh, and apart from that, there's also a north-south road, which is Geneva Road, and then you've got the east-west road, which is San Jose. So if you look up the intersection of San Jose and Geneva on a map, or if you look for either Cameron Beach Yard or the Courtesy Green Light Rail Centre, you'll find where I am, or indeed the Balboa Park BART station. You'll find exactly where I am there. So lots to see here, indeed lots to see. Wednesday the 13th of February 2013. I am on a K-Line VNI train in San Francisco, heading from Balboa Park and heading downtown. We're on a street section of the VNI system at the moment, and later on in another message we'll be heading in the subway section, or what I'm calling the fun-sized subway, more downtown. Today I make day 38 of my trip, Wednesday the 20th of February 2013, and now we are in the tunnel section, or what I've called the fun size subway section of the Munai.
Just hit the tunnel section of the Munai, just approaching Castro Station, heading downtown. You'll notice that the announcements are now automatic, and there's a section to enter the carriage. If it's a street section, the platform will lower and there'll be steps to get down. But now that we're in the subway system, there's the platform comes up, and so you just go straight onto the platform.
G'day, I'm Merck. This is day 38 of my trip, Wednesday the 20th of February 2013, downtown San Francisco. We are about to catch an F-line streetcar down to Fisherman's Wharf. If I can find my flipper cart, yes I can. So we're on board now, and we're aboard car 1079. It was built in 1946. It's a Minneapolis St. Paul, 1946 to 1953. Newark, 1953 to 2001. And purchased by Munich in 2004.
See, these are all used to be working piers where they'd unload and load. Now they're all just like shops, restaurants.
Storytime car. Hi, my name is Nathan, and today I'm going to give you your instructional video on how to operate the go-kart. It's really important you listen closely to this information I'm going to give you. That way, when you're out on the tour, you'll be able to maximise your enjoyment. Okay, all the vehicles are equipped with a trunk. To unlock the trunk, simply turn that through 90 degrees and lift it up. To secure it, turn it back through 90 degrees and it'll be secure. If you want to lock it, you need to use the correct key. The vehicle has two keys, one for the ignition and one for the trunk. To lock the trunk, get the trunk key, insert it into the lock, turn it through 90 degrees and press. To unlock it, do the opposite. Insert the key, turn it back through 90 degrees, the lock will pop out, turn it through 90, and the trunk will open. Second key is the ignition key. Ignition key is located here on the steering column. To turn the ignition on and off, you simply turn it here, on and off. If you push and turn the key, it'll jam. The vehicle operates like a motorcycle. You've got no clutch or gears to worry about. Gas is on the right hand. So if you move this throttle lever back, the further back you move it, the more power is delivered. You have two brakes, like a bicycle. The front brake is on the right hand, the rear brake is on the left hand. You want to make sure you use both brakes at the same time. The rear brake is your parking brake. This metal clip here holds the brake on. To release it, simply pull the lever and the clip will release. To re-engage it, may take two hands. Pull the lever, press the clip in place and release. The left handle grip has three controls on it. The top one here is your high beam and low beam. This is a motorcycle, so the lights will be on the whole time for safety. Underneath this is your turn signal. To engage, simply push the direction you want to turn. The white button cancels. Push to turn, cancel. Remember, it's not like a car, it won't cancel on its own. You have to press the white button. And the last thing on this, this red button here, that's your horn. On this side of the steering column, this is your kill switch. This is really important. It has three positions, left, right, and centre. The engine will only run when it's in the centre position. It's for emergencies to shut down the engine. The reason we only use this in emergencies is if you turn the engine off, you won't be able to start the engine until this is repositioned. A lot of people forget that it's in the off position and they run the battery flap trying to start the engine. If you just leave this in the middle, use the keys to turn the engine on and off, you won't have that problem. This is the most important part. You're not going to go anywhere until you know how to start the engine. There are three things you need to do to start the engine. Number one, key needs to be in the on position. Number two, brake needs to be engaged. Let me just show you something. If the brake is not engaged, you cannot start the engine. It's a safety feature built into the car. So you need to engage the brake. It doesn't matter which one, I normally use the parking brake. The third thing you need to check is that the kill switch is centered in the ready position. If all things are good, simply press this red button and the engine will start. Once you get in the vehicle, you need to adjust the mirrors for your rear view. The car has two mirrors. Simply adjust it so you can see behind you. The vehicle has two gauges. It has a speedometer and a gas gauge. The vehicle is only designed to go 30 miles an hour, so on the downhills, watch your speed. So this right here is your gas gauge. A full tank of gas will give you a range of about 70 miles. A full tank of gas is like 100 mile rental. If you need to fill up, it takes premium. The vehicle's going to put the safety belts. Simply adjust to the right length, clip in, and tighten. To power up the GPS, simply press this button. You can leave this on the whole duration of the trip. This powers up your GPS and your audio system. Your audio system, you control the volume with this button here. This is just a normal car stereo. The load button here selects between the radio.
G'day, I'm Merck. Day 38 of my trip. It is Wednesday, the 20th of February 2013. I'm about to go down the crookedest street in the world,
Lombard Street, San Francisco, but I'm going to do it in a difference. I'm going to do it in what they call a go-kart, which is basically a three-wheel motorcycle. This is going to be fun. Cobblestone, very small fire. I'm going down here. Not as many people here as there usually is. This is a lot of fun. Gives you a great view looking down on San Francisco. Don't know how people see it actually living on the street. Most of the time I just got brake on because it didn't need to control the speed that much. Normally there's like heaps of people lined up all around to take your photo as you're going down, and I haven't seen one person apart from those at the start and those that are coming up to the bottom. Fun thing to do, which we'll try and do in a moment, is we'll find, first of all, find a parking space. Ah, here's one. So we'll tell you more about the vehicle that I'm in. It's actually registered here in California as a motorcycle, so you have to follow all the usual motorcycle rules. You control it like a motorcycle with a hand throttle and bicycle brakes, exactly the same way you would control a motorcycle, except for the fact that you have three wheels. They warned me not to try and take it up any big hills. Well, I managed to do that actually. I managed to go up the hills where the cable car go, so that was quite cool. I just went down Lombard Street, and this thing handles really well. It's designed to go up to about a maximum of 30 miles an hour. It's a 50cc motorcycle engine, and it has a fuel range of about 5 hours. This thing is absolutely awesome. I should just quit my job right now and drive around in one of these, advertising them on the streets of San Francisco. That's totally what I should do. Because let me tell you, until now, I hadn't seen one of these around the streets. The amount of people that show some sort of interest, and I'm not including the homeless people because they want to stop me for a dollar. It's just so much fun, and I would, this would be an awesome job, although you'd probably get sick of it after a while. Although, then again, would you get sick of it? I don't know. Interesting.
We were back on her, like, the red line, so she started talking to us again, and then she's like, okay, make a right here down the street, and we were like, oh, well, since we're here.
She never talked to me once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was all over the place and never talked to me once.
Really?
me she would have taken her back. I would have spanked her for you. Yelp or TripAdvisor, please visit. Leave us a review. It helps us out so much, especially us lowly employees. You guys have a good day. Okay?
Thank you. This is so great. Thank you.
But I would so give up my job and just run one of those around all day because
really?
So many people were just... Like taking photos.
Yeah,
and
we're going to be on people's Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we won't even know because they won't be able to tag us or anything. So.
Right, right. Bye, thank you.
So, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
All right, let me give you a bit of a discount that should have been working. I wish you would have come back or called me. I would have gotten...
No, it was fine. I was just having so much fun anyway. It didn't matter, really. But yeah, you'll be pleased to know that I didn't drive it off the Golden Gate Bridge and it didn't explode.
Okay. It's 5 o'clock now. Let's take you back to 4:45, okay?
Okay.
Okay, then from 127 to 117.75.
Yep.
19 for insurance, $10.30 for sales tax. Your total due is 147.05.
Yep.
Do you want me to put that on your Visa?
Yes, please.
All right. Well, you went out, you didn't even have a tour, and you enjoyed it. That's,
oh, yeah.
That's good to hear.
As I said, I'll be on heaps of people's Facebooks, and people who don't even have Facebook, they'll be...
No, yeah, you totally... People... They get their pictures taken, we'll see them in, like, the newspaper or on, like, Yahoo or something. It's nice to...
How long have you guys been around?
What's that?
How long have you guys been around as a company?
We've been around since 2004.
So there's obviously some money in it, then.
It's all right. It's, during the summer is, of course, our best time. Winter, it takes a little bit of a hit. There you go.
Awesome.
Here's your seat.
No worries.
TripAdvisor, please. And that.
And I can mention that the thingy didn't work, but I had a good time anyway. The lady didn't work, but I had a good time.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
You can do whatever you want.
No worries. Sounds good. Cheers, mate.
Have a good day, man.
See you, mate. And so that was go-kart. That was really, really cool. Two wheels at the front, one wheel at the back, registered as a motorcycle, and I had so much fun, even though one of the ideas of this is not that you go around, tear around the streets of San Francisco like you just don't care. That's not the total idea of it. The total idea of it is to go on the tour. They have various tour routes that they suggest you go around, and the GPS unit and the inbuilt tour lady takes you around according to your locations and what you want to do, and she gives you advice. She's like a tour guide, except she's, you know, mounted in the car. But unfortunately, I actually didn't get to hear her, so I don't know what she sounds like. But then again, I had so much fun anyway. Just cruising around the streets. As I said to Mark, the guy working there, lots of people, they were taking my photo and that sort of stuff and waving. I'll probably have lots of good stories to tell about that, including going up the streets where the cable car go. And if you've been in San Francisco, you'll know that those streets are pretty steep. And I still made it. So that was go-kart. GoCarTours.com, and they're here in San Francisco, and I'm Merc. My ass is really sore, but I've had a great time. Good night.
Thank you.
one I got, yeah.
All right.
I got lots of milk, remember?
For some of you, that was a ride on a streetcar. For some of you, that was just overhearing a conversation. For me, that was something very strange because you might have seen a mime artist at various places. I know there's a couple of them that I've seen it that paint themselves gold. The guy in that conversation that you might have been able to overhear was indeed one of those mimes, but because he's off the clock, he certainly had a lot to say to the lady that he was traveling with. So yeah, if anyone ever says to you, have you seen one of those gold men talk? I have. I'm Merc. It's day 38, Tuesday the 20th of February 2013 from San Francisco. I'm Merc. Thanks for listening. G'day, I'm Merc. Welcome to day 39 of my trip. It is Thursday the 21st of February 2013. Dateline downtown San Francisco in California. I am standing next to one of the famous San Francisco cable cars. Now, just by looking at it, it's a single carriage. There's an open section at each end. It's very common for people to be standing on the running boards at either end. And it's one of the original cable car systems here. As I've said in previous parts, I'm going to have to do some fact checking. But how this is operated looks interesting from the outside. At each end, there's a series of levers depending on what the train needs to do. If it needs power to get up the hill, or if it needs to be slowed going down the hill. And let me tell you, just looking at the hill behind me, looking at the end of the track from close to Market Street, and looking directly up the hill, it's going to need some power to get up that hill. But then again, it's not all uphill. There's downhill bits as well. And so the cable, basically, that's under the tracks, and the cog system, which is under the tram, so to speak, helps it get up and down the hills. So there's a guy at either end. There's the guy at the front. There's the guy at the back. The guy at the back usually handles the unloading and the loading and unloading of passengers only. Whereas the guy at the front is obviously looking out for traffic and whatnot. So the levers at either end, they look like long-term Erkpod listeners will remember this, the levers of Katoomba. There's a couple at the back, a couple at the front, which control the speed and also the direction in which the car is going. So all very interesting stuff. And I spent a lot of time behind these things yesterday, and it's an interesting way. Expensive way though, $6 per trip to see parts of San Francisco. But you certainly wouldn't want to walk up some of these hills yourself. I'm Eric, thanks for listening. Now back to the hunt for the Melbourne Tram. G'day, I'm Eric. Welcome to day 39 of my trip. Right. Hi, mate, just one place.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. This is day 39 of my trip, Thursday the 21st of February 2013, and we are on board one of these San Francisco cable cars. moment we're in one of the flatter sections at the start of the route at the Fisherman's Wharf. But in a couple of blocks, we'll start to go uphill. Stay tuned, as soon, in the next message, we'll go uphill. we've come up a fair way on the hilly section of the San Francisco cable car. We're still on California. And we're near the Grace Cathedral. So is the guy up front controlling the brakes as well, or is it just you?
What's that?
Is it the guy up the front controlling the brakes, or just you?
Both of us.
Both of you. We're here at the end of the line of the cable car. We're still on California. I was wondering where the guy at the back was going. He was heading into the Wells Fargo Bank. I'm thinking, where the hell's he going? But as it turns out, this is the end of the line. I seem to remember, unless there's another actual line, that was straight up and down California. So unless there's the other line from the other side of Fisherman's Market that I was following yesterday, because this wasn't the line I was following yesterday. So let's go across the road. That was a lot of fun. Labor intensive, as you heard from the guy at the back. Both guys are controlling the braking system on the streetcar, one at either end with the massive levers. So that was a lot of fun. Not necessarily something I would do every single time I wanted to go somewhere, because that would get rather expensive. But yeah, something which would be good occasionally, or if you're a tourist like I am, that would be something definitely worth doing for sure. IMAC. It's day 39 of my trip on Tuesday, the 21st of February 2013. I am actually on one of the mini trolley buses, which, if you want to put it another way, is a bus body, but it is connected to overhead wires via a trolley line. And so while they can swing out from the curb, don't forget I'm in America, so we're talking right-hand side of the road. It can basically be in the right-hand lane for stops and the next one only, because it's only so far that the cable strung out by, and it's only so far that the arm reaching from the bus can swivel either way. So while it might look like a bus, it doesn't necessarily have all of the advantages of a bus. Having said that, it's electrically powered. And a lot of people think, oh, electrically powered, that's awesome for the environment. But then again, somebody has to produce the electricity as well. So it's eerily quiet.
Yes.
So here we are in San Francisco. Here we are in San Francisco, and I'm about to ride a Melbourne tram. G'day, I'm Merck. This is day 39 of my trip. It is Thursday, the 21st of February 2013.
I'm coming to you from the Montgomery Street BART station under San Francisco. Now this, folks, is a proper subway system. It's not fun-sized like the Muni system, which is actually above us. They run 8, 9 and 10 car trains at this time of the afternoon. It's almost 5 p.m, almost knock-off time for some people. There's a double and Pleasanton train now on platform number 2, and soon on platform 1 there will be a train arriving in the opposite direction. Single-deck subway cars, electric third rail. The train is basically operated automatically, with the exception of door operation and public address announcements. But it's a very good system. It's not integrated with the all-day Muni tickets. However, it is part of the Clipper system. As I said, this is a true subway. It's just a shame it doesn't go further with San Francisco. But if you have the Clipper card loaded up, you can transfer pretty easily between the Muni rail system, the Muni bus system, and also the bus systems and the streetcar. One interesting thing to notice here, that on the platform there is of course the traditional yellow line, which in this case goes back from the edge of the platform maybe 12 inches or so, maybe a foot to the end of the platform, and then there are black markings every so often along the platform, and that's where the train doors should be. So what you'll find is that people are actually lining up and they are lining up where the black marks are, because they know this is where the train will pull up. So it's not all higgledy-skiggledy like trains back home, but then again, the station's not overly crowded at the moment. You've got very frequent services though, which is a good thing. So from BART, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary actually, it celebrated that in 2012, it has been around longer than the Simpsons character of the same name. Anywho, I'm Eric. Thanks for listening. Day 39 of my trip. It's very late on Thursday, the 21st of February 2013. waiting for Zorro to hit the stage here at a rather full venue here in San Francisco. We are in the park side. I saw Zorro on 70,000 tons of metal. Found out that her and I will be in San Francisco at the same time. So why not indeed? The crowd is waiting in anticipation. Sound checks have been done. About to fade down the background music and welcome the German goddess of metal to the stage.
Fucking 40, how you feeling? Man, it's a pleasure to be back in this city and to bring to the stage an artist who's rocked this world for the past 30 years. And she's gonna keep going for another 30 more, San Francisco! So it's an honor to bring to the stage right now the queen of metal herself, Zorro Pesh!
You've enjoyed episode 393 of ErkPod. As we continue our way down the west coast of America before heading for home, that was San Francisco, and there's a lot more San Francisco content to come in coming weeks as ErkPod episodes are extended and you can hear lots more apart from these audio boo messages that you have heard. On the next episode, we go a little bit further down the west coast of California and we end up in San Luis Obispo. Gee, I wonder who we might see there. Anywho, to find out, tune in next time. I'm Erk. Thanks for listening and good night, Interweb.